Thank you for joining KLZ 560 and our exceptional partners at Extreme Auto Repair of Parker in honoring God and country. This is the Crawford Broadcasting Company.
It's the Kim Munson Show. Analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Hey, welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are going to have some important conversations today. It's a little snowy out there. Be sure and allow extra time and so that you can get where you need to go this morning. But it is a beautiful morning. I tell you what, the good Lord is showing off, Steve. It is absolutely gorgeous out there.
Yeah, I can't say that I don't like it. Actually, I can say it in April when we've had our fill, but now I like it.
It's absolutely gorgeous out there. So really a terrific show today. We're going to be having Britta Horn on. We're talking about exposing this, Building a Better Colorado. This is an organization that has, under the guise of nonpartisanship, said that they're going to have a conversation about the ways that we could, quote unquote, build a better Colorado. But actually, their idea always comes down to more taxes and more money out of your pocket. So we will be talking with Britta Horn about that. And then we'll be talking with Laura Carno in the second segment about why she is recommending a no vote on CC. And then Roger Bianco has written a piece that is at my website, Kim Munson, that's MONSON.com. It is Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde, who should govern? So that'll be a great conversation as well. And we talk about these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately has to come down to force. And the question is, if something is such a great idea, Steve, why do you have to force somebody?
It's a brilliant question, because people would stop and look through the essence of what it is you just said. If it's that good, then let's talk about it. Let's go through the normal processes. But strong arming the public, strong arming the electorate the way they're doing, I don't get it.
I don't either. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, whether it's in property or freedom, via force, whether it's with a weapon policy or unpredictable and excessive taxation.
Unpredictable taxation. Do you see the little article I dropped on your desk there?
Yes. This is from the Lone Tree Voice, right?
Yes, but we're talking about Douglas County property taxes and the warning that look out in 2020, they're going to go up. And I've read the article, I've read it two or three times, and I come to the conclusion that we're going to do it just because we can. I mean, there's a hint that maybe it's the logical outcome of the booming housing market, but I still don't follow their reasoning.
Well, we're going to keep an eye on that. You know, when your property values go up, then your assessed valuation goes up. And so that is definitely a bump in tax revenue. So then you've also got, though, on the Douglas County ballot, this 1A, which it starts off without raising taxes or without raising additional taxes. And that is my litmus test. If you see any kind of a ballot initiative that starts with that, then that means that they are extending a tax or they're repurposing a tax. And you know what? We need to get back to simplification of this is what this is for, this is what this is for. We make the case for that. And so if you see anything, any school election, any county election, any city election that starts with the words without raising taxes, vote no.
I confess that you have a much better understanding of the property tax situation based on your experiences in local government over the last how many years. But I also go to the fact that how many new houses have been constructed in Douglas County, mm-hmm. how many thousands of new people are now on the taxpayer rolls in terms of property taxes. Isn't that enough?
Apparently not.
Okay.
Apparently not. So we'll keep an eye on that. And thanks for bringing that up here. And Steve, thank you. Greatly appreciate you. Appreciate Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for all your support and good work. And thank you to each of you listening out there. You're each valued. You're treasured. Strive for excellence today and take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. My voter's guide is out. It is at Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. Recommending on the statewide level, no on CC, no on DD, and no on anything that starts with the words without raising taxes or without raising additional taxes. And you can reach me, you can email me, kim@kimmunson.com. And really exciting, you put this in front of me here, Steve, No Safe Spaces. You know, we've had Justin Folk on, who is the director. He's going to be on again at the end of the week. And on Friday is when it will be showing at the Highlands Ranch AMC Theaters, and it is very important that they have a good showing. So every day you should do something to preserve the American idea, to stand for freedom. On Friday, you can go to this movie, No Safe Spaces, and it says it sees a massive box office haul on just one screen ahead of a broader rollout. The new film about free speech, No Safe Spaces, starring comedian Adam Carolla and conservative radio personality Dennis Prager, had a strong opening with the second highest ever box office gross for a documentary playing on just one screen, according to the movie's producers. So that No Safe Spaces will be here in Denver, down at the Highlands Ranch AMC Theaters on Friday. And so go to nosafespaces.com to buy your tickets. I have purchased mine. Have you purchased yours yet, Steve?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, you better get on it, okay? And let's see here. Where are we? Okay, I wanted to do inspiration. Okay, inspiration, just real quickly. This is James Madison writing as Publius in Federalist Papers number 41. As you know, he was an American statesman, attorney or lawyer, diplomat, philosopher, and founding father who served as the fourth president of the United States. He says, a dangerous establishment can never be necessary or plausible so long as they continue a united people. We need to come back to being united instead of divided. And Steve, are you ready for the funnies?
It's a Monday. Give it your best shot.
Okay, here we go. Number one, politicians are a bit like restless sleepers. First they lie on one side, and then they lie on the other.
Nice.
A politician is someone who shakes your hand before an election and your confidence after it.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember, the politicians who promise pie in the sky are planning to use your dough for it.
Okay.
There you have it. And so if you want a reason to vote no on Proposition CC, we have hundreds of millions of reasons, all related to corporate welfare. As we say every day, as we started this whole little endeavor, that we believe that all these companies should be on an even playing field. Government should not be picking winners and losers. And that means that they should not be given the big guys tax breaks, tax incentives, pass on some of these rules and regulations. So here we go. If the state needs more money, why are tax incentives, credits, et cetera, given to corporations? According to Good Jobs First Colorado Tracker, the Colorado Office of Economic Development and International Trade through the Enterprise Zone offered the parent company Broadband, an electrical and electronic company with a market cap of $114.96 billion under company names LSI Corporation, Avago Technologies, Wireless, and California Technologies, tax credits of a total came into just about $6.5 million. So the grand total for the past 11 working days, all offers accepted by corporations given subsidies by Colorado state agencies, is almost $228 million. So if the state of Colorado needs money, then why is it that they have giving this all this money away, and yet they're saying that under Prop CC, we want to be able to keep your taper tax refunds forever? It just doesn't make sense. And I've got Britta Horn on the line. She is the former Rout County treasurer. Britta, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you, Kim. Thanks for having me.
And you and I have discovered something that has been very troubling, and that is this organization, Building a Better Colorado. You know, the words Building a Better Colorado, sounds good. We all, you know, want to continue to improve. They've said that they're nonpartisan, that they won't take a stand. But as we've looked at this, that has, and what they've said and what they're doing are two different things. What's your experience?
Well, it's a more, like I said earlier, we were talking last week about this. It's just a group of people. They're not even the politicians that you just had a joke about. They're not even politicians. They're people that have put bureaucrats or a group of people that put together this plan. It's like a nefarious plan to just go ahead and manipulate everybody's words and what they think by coming into this group and saying, we're going to get consensus and we're going to get everybody to want to agree on how to build a better Colorado. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that?
Right. And they said that it was nonpartisan. They would not be taking a stand. But as we have watched this play out, in fact, the Building a Better Colorado, I think that they manipulated the outcome for their report so that they can say all of these people came together for a conversation. And they think that it's good that we raise our taxes. So they actually gave all those names, unless you opted out, all of those names they collected, they gave to the pro-CC group, which was totally what they against what they said they were going to do.
Exactly. That was the biggest piece they had. They ever say they were a non-advocacy group, that we're not going to take a position. We just want to hear your thoughts, and we want to get everybody, the thought leaders of every county, you know, to come back in an afternoon and go through this whole process and have these clickers in your hands to vote on things. So everything was pre-loaded, an idea from A, B, C, or D, and that's all you could pick from. And while they were doing that, we had no idea that even board directors of this whole Building a Better Colorado, as Rick Turnquist revealed last week, that they're just putting more and more money into the yes on CC.
Well, and there was just a piece that researcher Patty found, and this was in the Fort Collins, Coloradan, and I think it was in the Coloradan, but yeah, actually USA Today picked it up. But Fort Collins businesswoman and philanthropist Pat Stryker is a major contributor to the election campaign aimed at overturning an element of Colorado's contentious Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. Stryker donated $500,000 to Coloradans for Prosperity. And this is the other thing that is so interesting, is Americans for Prosperity has been around for a long, long time. And they've continued to fight higher and higher taxes. So when they put together the Yes on CC, they called it Coloradans for Prosperity. It's like, come on, get your own idea, right?
Exactly. It seems they always twist the words just one, so it's very confusing for the average person that's, you know, getting up right now, shoveling, getting their kids to school and going to work, and they can't keep up with all these names that are just off by one word, and it's completely opposite of what they're representing.
You know, and I've got to think, if Pat Stryker really thought that Colorado needed more money, instead of going out advocating taking the Tabor tax refunds of everyday hardworking Coloradans, why doesn't she just give Colorado that $500,000 instead of doing this? What do you think, Britta?
That's an excellent idea, and all the outside money that's coming in, because when you start seeing outside money coming from New York, California, Florida, you're looking at numbers that are just like, why do they care what's going on in Colorado? So if they care so much, Kim, then they might as well just go ahead and, you know, pay all the money that the state legislators think they need.
Absolutely. So, Britta Horn, thank you so much. And we'll continue to expose this whole Building a Better Colorado. And I think that there's some posts both on your Facebook and on my Facebook that people can go take a look at. And we've got actually the audio of all the people that are calling in every day. So, Britta, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's also on Twitter.
On Twitter. Okay, great. And where out on Twitter, Britta? And
On my at Britta Horn. And then also, if you do any of the hashtags, hashtag no on CC, it'll pop right up.
Okay, fantastic. Britta Horn, thank you so much. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
We're going to go to break. This is the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. And we have Laura Carno on the line. She's going to explain why she would recommend a no vote on CC. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Coming up on the Mike Gallagher Show, the Justice Department has shifted its review of the Russia election hoax from an inquiry to a criminal investigation. What does it all mean? We'll break it down coming up.
Mike Gallagher, 8 to 11 a.m. on KLZ 560.
Suck it up, Buttercup. Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Thrilled to have on the line with me Laura Carno. Laura, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Kim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you, on this very snowy day.
It's a beautiful day, but very snowy, so yeah. Allow extra time. You are a no on this Prop CC. When the question on the table there is, can the state of Colorado keep everyday hardworking Coloradans Tabor tax refunds forever, just never have to ask us? So why are you a no?
Right. Yeah, and I want to talk about a couple of aspects. I know that there is so much wrong with this. But there are a few things other than without raising taxes, as you mentioned, that are problematic with this or other types of tax increases that maybe don't get spoken about as often. One is when you hear the yes on CC people, and there's different numbers out there. They say it would only be $44 a year. It would only be a couple hundred dollars a year. There are different calculations out there to try and minimize the amount in our minds, the amount that we might be getting, so that we might say, oh, it's only $100 a year. That can go to schools or that can go to roads. I want to address that. Let's assume for a moment, Kim, that if it's $100 a year, that maybe the yes on CC people don't know anybody for whom $100 a year is a lot of money. I know a lot of people like that. It is a lot of money. When you multiply whatever that number is times forever, think about that. It is not $100. It is $100 every year for your lifetime, $100 every year for your children's lifetime and your grandchildren's lifetime. So when they put out numbers, whatever it is, the lowest I've seen is $44. Think about that as multiplied forever, and that is your money, and you know better how to spend your money than the government does.
That is that's a different take. I hadn't really thought about that. And you see this many times with PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, how they minimize it. It's only, it's only a cup of coffee. It's only $44 here, only a little bit there. But when you think about forever, yeah, that's a lot of money.
Right.
That is a lot of money.
Time's forever. Just think about it that way. There was a few years ago, there was a tax increase in Colorado Springs we were fighting, and it was a sales tax increase, which, as you know, hits the poor the hardest. And the proponents for that ballot increase were saying it's two Starbucks a month. And our group, Springs Taxpayers, came out and said, do the city administrators not know people who can't afford a Starbucks, for goodness sakes? Get out and expand your social circle. And it's that same kind of concept that really rubs me the wrong way. And I think rubs a lot of people the wrong way on this when they try to minimize that money. Just think about it as times forever and see if you still like that that amount. The other thing, Kim, and this is certainly with CC, especially because they're being so, let me think of the right word, disingenuous about with the ballot language. Disingenuous is probably being a little bit
kind,
generous to them. But it's just absolutely bad ballot language that would have probably never passed the title board if you and I had put this on the ballot. But the notion, Kim, is that these kinds of taxes are con jobs on the public. And then let me explain what I mean by that. It's a pretty strong phrase. If these are priorities, and I think we can all agree that roads, bridges, K-12 education, higher ed, I think we can all agree that we think that these are priorities. These are important things that if we consent to a government, as we do, that we think maybe there's some big things like that that it should do. So I would ask the question, if these are priorities, and I think the same thing on DD, if water infrastructure is a priority, then guess what? Prioritize it. They don't need to pass CC. They don't need to pass DD in order to prioritize water, roads, bridges, schools. Just prioritize them. So you, at the beginning of the year, you have your budget. Prioritize those things that we all look at and say, yeah, they're probably top of the heap. Then, if there's extra money, do other things like, I don't know, busting or other things. But what they do instead, Kim, and this is where the con job comes in, they spend all of this money on other things that we don't necessarily think are priorities. And then at the end of the budgeting season or what have you, they say, oh, but wait a minute, we don't have enough money for the children in school, so we need to raise taxes. And if they had started out, Kim, and said, we're funding the priorities, and then we're going to put a ballot initiative on the ballot for $100 million in bike lane infrastructure, which was a Hickenlooper proposal. If they put that on the ballot because it was really not one of those initial priorities, then we could make our decision on that thing that, we don't have enough money for it otherwise. But they would never come to us with that because we'd say, I don't think I'm going to give my extra tax money for bike lanes or extra whatever they're spending our money on that are outside of what most people think are priorities. So it's a con job. It's a complete con job because they know we would never say yes to some of these other things. So they spend the money on that and then come back to us for the things that tug at our heartstrings because we want our roads to be good. We want our schools to perform well, but they're not willing to ask us for the extras. They underfund the priorities and then come back to us for more money. And that's another aspect that I would love to hear more people talking about. If it's a priority, prioritize it. You don't need these initiatives to prioritize it.
Well, Laura, that again, that's a very important point. And so the point you're making is that they spend money on their pet projects instead of prioritizing the things that everyday hardworking people value. So they go spend the money on their pet projects, and then they come to everyday hardworking people and say, hey, give us your Tabor tax refunds forever because we can't prioritize correctly.
Right. And just think about it in terms of a very tight family budget where you have rent or mortgage to pay, you have car payments, you have utilities, groceries, those sorts of things. What if you said, I'm going to go on this expensive vacation or even on a shopping spree for clothes or something like that? I'm going to just not pay my rent or mortgage or car payments or utilities. We would never do that. In a family budget, we know what that level, the order of priorities are. And if there's extra money, then we can go buy some new clothes. We can take a vacation with our family. But we would never forego those priorities in order to do the elective mm-hmm. spending. We prioritize the priorities, and they do not need one more dime to prioritize. They do not need to pass on either of these ballot initiatives to prioritize money for water, roads, bridges, schools, et cetera. Simply prioritize them. And the fact that we heard just a month ago or so that the legislature has already spent well into next year's budget with everything that they passed this year, earlier in the year at the legislature. And it's exactly that. They're saying, here are all these things that aren't roads, bridges, schools, and water that we want to spend money on. Now give us more for roads, bridges, schools, and water. And we would never run our household like that. Why should we run our state like that?
Well, very valid reasons on why you recommend a no vote on CC. And it sounds like you might be a no on DD as well then.
Yeah, and for that exact same reason, I think that if they had separated legalizing sports betting from a tax, I think we could have a different conversation on it. And I'm not a big gambler, but freedom. And so I would probably be a yes on that if it was just legalizing sports betting. But interestingly, the new commercials they have out for Yes on DD talk about only taxing the casinos and getting better water. They don't talk about the legalization of sports betting. So that must not be the most popular part of DD. But I look at this. If water is important.
And it is.
Fund the water infrastructure that you're talking about. And I don't like taxes, even if it's, here's how I look at this one, taxing those sinners over there. And I put air quotes around that, those sinners. Mm-hmm. But taxing those people over there, they're not me. Those are the gamblers. Those are the smokers. Those are the cigar people. Those are the pot people. Those are whoever. If we tax those sinners over there, and again, quotes or air quotes around sinners, I still think that they're bad because we are taxing people and we are giving government more money to be irresponsible with. And then they come back and say, but the children and but the roads and now but the water. And prioritize the priorities. It has the word priority right in it. Prioritize them. And if you want your extras, then come back to us and ask. We might say yes if you make a good enough case.
Very, very well said. Laura Carno, thank you so much for your views on that and a couple of new ways to think about a no on CC. Sure. So thanks so much, Laura Carno.
Absolutely. And folks should go to votenoonCC.com to see lots of different reasons that you can share with your friends.
Okay. And that's votenoonCC.com, you said, right?
.com. Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Okay, great. Laura, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay. Bye. And Jason McBride, are you out on those roads yet today?
I am not out on those roads yet today, but I'll tell you, Laura was talking about prioritizing. I came up with a great idea that could save some money, and then there's another reason to say no on CC.
And what is that?
Well, I think we should just combine the bike lanes with the bus lanes. I think it should be a bike/bus lane.
That could do it. That could do it. So what is going to happen in the market? Is it going to be a snowy day in the market, or is it going to be a sunshiny day?
Well, at least on the open, it looks like it's going to open a little bit higher, Kim. And the S&P, I mean, came right up to the all-time high on Friday, which was pretty darn interesting. It looks like we might make it through October without taking a beating, which we do sometimes in October. Mm-hmm. But no, the market looks like it wants to kind of take off here, and this would be the time of the year when it generally happens. So we may have a real good market coming up soon, but you know how predicting is. It's difficult.
Well, yes, it is. It's, what is it, like deja vu all over again or something like that, right?
Right, so, yeah.
So as we are coming in, I mean, I could not believe it, Jason McBride, that November 1st is this Friday. And of course, now no Safe Spaces is going to be screening here. Have you gotten your tickets yet?
I do have my tickets.
All right.
Six tickets.
All right. Which show are you going to?
I am going to the Saturday one at Highlands Ranch.
I didn't think, there's one on Saturday? I thought it was only on Friday.
It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's open for the whole weekend.
Oh, I did not realize that. So,
yeah.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going Friday night at 7. But So, but we're coming in. I mean, November 1st, I can't believe it, is this Friday. And we've talked last week about these Roth IRAs and different strategies. And all those things need to occur by the end of the year. And so folks need to get in with you with a discovery session to see how, if, you know, what to optimize their kind of their economic well-being, because this Roth IRA sounds like it's a really good tool to use.
I think it is, Kim, and the reality is it's not likely that we're going to keep these low tax rates that we have forever, regardless of which party's in office. It's just math. We kind of have the highest bills to pay we've ever had. They're knocking on the door now. It's becoming harder to kick the can down the road, so the money's going to have to come from somewhere. Right now, you have a low tax rate. Many people are able to convert some or all of their traditional IRA money over to Roth without really having to pay much to do it at all, which does one thing, and that gets the government out of your retirement account forever, which is nice.
That's a very, very nice thing. So folks should give you a call over at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Natalie, I'll be at the boards at 7:30, or you can go to AIR, that's A-I-R, presidential.com, AIR, that's A-I-R, presidential.com, and you can get all kinds of information there as well. So, Jason, thank you so much.
That's great. Thank you, Kim, and have a great show.
We will. Roger Bianco is in studio, and so we'll go to break. We'll be right back with Roger Bianco. And, Jason, you have a great day.
Okay. Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show, and I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, and that's KimMunson.com, spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and you can email me, Kim at KimMunson.com. So I think they got it. And in studio with me is Roger Bianco. It's great to have you here, Roger.
Good morning. Bright and early, or just early, not bright.
On a snowy morning. So it's great to have you here. You've written a very interesting piece, which is at my website, KimMunson.com. Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde, who should govern?
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about this. Tell me, where did you come up with this idea?
Well, so honestly, where I came up with this idea, first day of leadership, as you know, I'm involved in leadership program of the Rockies. The first day of the program for the class of 2020 was last month, second Friday of last month, whatever that was. And Dr. Kranowitter, Tom Kranowitter, always stands up in front and talks about the Declaration of Independence. He dissects it. And within that conversation is this discussion of human nature. And he talks about us as either the beast or the benevolent being. We have this dual nature within ourselves. We're capable of great beauty, and we're capable of great destructive things as well. Just look throughout human history. We've caused great destructive things in human history as well. And so what his point is that the founders knew this about human beings. Now, one of the big things that people who don't like the founding of the country and who feel that it's antiquated and doesn't apply today, what they say a lot is they say, Well, but the documents don't apply today because there's, you know, we're such a different society. We're such a different, we have different problems and technology, and you know, they couldn't possibly have anticipated what the world is like now. And I, you know, they're right that they couldn't possibly anticipate what the world was like now, although they gave us the conditions to create a lot of the good things that we have in the world now. But what I was driving with my daughter, and I wanted to test this idea on a younger person. So her and I were driving this weekend, and I said, "Sweetie, do you think we are?" I asked her this question. "Do you think we are all possible of great things and bad things?" And she said, unequivocally, "Absolutely, Dad. Absolutely, we are." Okay, so.
But I don't think all people believe that.
No, I don't think they do either. It's unfortunate, but it is that it seems to me to be a pretty elemental, basic feature in human nature. Mm-hmm. You see it all the time. I mean, the news stories. You just watch the news. You'll see a story of how people rally around their fellow citizens when they've been the victim of a natural disaster, a hurricane, or a flood, or something. And you hear all these great stories of people helping one another out, and then. At the same time, the next story is about how some man kidnapped his kids and took them, you know, all good and bad, yin and yang. I mean, these are things that are pretty basic elemental things in human nature. But yeah, not everyone agrees with that.
Okay, just a comment on that. So you mentioned you can look at the newspaper, you have good and bad. And most people may say, okay, I give you that. But I'm not sure that everybody agrees that each person has the within them as you mentioned, to do things of great beauty or to do great things, but we also have within us to do destructive things. I'm not sure that everybody believes that about themselves.
Believes that about themselves. Well, one of the next commentaries that I'll write, I've already written, and it talks about how there's difference between the masses and the individuals, I think. But it's probably also on a sliding scale, wouldn't you say? Where, you know, someone who is capable, doesn't believe that they're capable of great beauty, probably is. And when I say great beauty, I don't mean you got to paint the Sistine Chapel. You know, you just have to doing something nice for someone, or being neighborly, or, you know, today grabbing your shovel and shoveling out your neighbor's yard or your neighbor's driveway because, you know,
they might be older or something.
Elderly, mm-hmm. But yeah, whatever. That to me is I wouldn't even put it in quotes. That's great beauty. That's just humanity connecting with one another. And as far as what you wouldn't, you know, maybe you, on the other side, malevolence doesn't have to always take the shape of, you know, doing something like murdering someone. But, you know, getting into a, you know, you cut someone off in traffic or you're.
Or you get in a fight at the kid's soccer game or
yeah.
something.
You yell at the coach, yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's I wouldn't call that malevolence very bad, but it's not a thing of beauty.
Right.
It's a sliding scale. So
yeah.
I think it's okay. Probably that everyone is capable of it, but not to the far end degrees.
Got it.
You know, anyway, you hear this stuff all the time. And to me, that's kind of that's what Dr. Kranerwitter talks about, where the beast and where the benevolent being as well, and so that's what was a decent part of the frame of mind that a lot of the founders had going into the whole time frame from even before the writing of the Declaration of Independence in through ratifying the Constitution and even beyond. And Madison kind of carried those ideas with him for the whole time, and so they factored it in. Is the point they factored the potential, and they really kind of focused in on the potential for, well, maybe they didn't focus in, but they factored in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde into the government structure mm-hmm. that we have. That was, you know, we kind of ho hum it these days. We say, well, it's a system of checks and balances and that kind of thing. So they.
Well, and in your piece, Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde, who should govern?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I was driving in, I was thinking about it because, you know, I served on city council for 4 years. And people get into, you know, they run for office because they want to serve. You know. But what is so interesting, you can get a little bit of power.
Yeah.
And I mean, it can be anywhere from a homeowners board all the way up to the presidency. You get a little
yeah.
bit of power. And you need to make sure that you keep that in check and you keep your focus on what it is that you're supposed to really do. And government is there. There's some core functions that government is supposed to do. And the other thing is they're supposed to protect the right that they get out of the way so that you can go after your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Right.
So many people now, whenever I hear the words now from a politician, I'm running for office because I want to make a difference. I'm like, oh.
I want to help people fix their problems. Yeah.
Oh. Because that's not the proper role of government.
Well, and it's well-intentioned. It's kind of this, but they're just, I think that there's not a lot of forethought sometimes. And they don't think about, well, if I try to fix, you know, Kim Monson's problem, and that means I prohibit X behavior in a neighborhood, then, you know, I'm going to create another problem for someone else. Like if I fix Kim's problem that she doesn't like cars being in the street because this is off the top of my head, you know, the way her car is or her home is situated on a curve, she might hit the other car if it's not safe. So I say no parking here. Okay, well, then what I do? Well, then I might force the 16-year-old across the street to put their car in the driveway, and then mom and dad aren't used to the car being in the driveway. They slam into the car when they back out of the driveway, out of the garage. There's repercussions, there's ramifications, and I think a lot of people at local level don't know that. They don't think it through. They think, okay, I just helped this person, and I didn't think about the repercussions on the other person. Does that make any sense?
It does. And so let's use another example. I have heard that Mayor Hancock wants to get to a point where there are no cars downtown.
Oh, gosh.
Now, you see, again, and this is, in a way, it's kind of a force thing. We like to look at these things as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. So you've seen government policy where they are, getting rid of a lot of parking spots down there. So they think if we get rid of these parking spots, people won't drive their cars there. If we make it more difficult, if we make it more expensive for people to come downtown, then they won't drive down, that they'll start to use the light rail and all these different things.
Because they're on the hook for the light rail.
Yeah, and it is because they're on the hook. But that takes away the freedom of mobility for people to go where they want to, when they want to.
Right.
And it's using a government policy to pick winners and losers. If, in fact, it was such a great idea that people wanted to come downtown and not come on their cars or use their cars, then there would be no reason that you would have to increase the cost of parking. You know, how many times have you gone downtown and you've seen parking meters that are hooded?
Yeah.
And many times what that is there's actually special parking passes for your bureaucrats and your politicians, they get to park there.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And so here you see freedom and force all over that. And so ultimately, I don't think that the movers and shakers in Denver are really, really thinking about this. Ultimately, when you start to put together a faux economy or a faux policy and use force, there will be a lot of unintended consequences with that.
Well, very much so, and I'll give you one. So I drive up and down the Front Range all the time, and just for my job. And a lot of times I go downtown, and parking's always kind of a mess downtown anyway. But now that they're taking away spaces, as you say, I don't have the option of taking the light rail downtown. I really don't, because what I would have to do is I'd have to take the light rail, and then I'd have to either Uber or take cabs from one location to another. And sometimes I go downtown for the morning, and then in the afternoon I'm out in the tech center or something like that. And so that's not going to be very helpful for me. Now, what does that mean for the city? Well, I mean, they're going to lose my parking revenue and all that stuff, and they're always quick to ticket me. But they're also going to lose, I mean, I do lunches down there. There's no way if there's not adequate parking downtown, I am not going to book a larger room, a banquet room at a hotel, or go to a restaurant on the 16th Street Mall to host 30, 40, 50 people in a lunch meeting. There's no way I'm going to do that. I'm not going to do that because I'm just not going to go downtown. I'm just not going to do my lunch meetings downtown. I'll figure something else. I'll do something else.
So there's these unintended consequences that eventually start to play out. Yeah, it starts to play out. And I tell you what, Roger, let's go to break. Let's continue on with this Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. Who should govern? And I actually did James Madison quotes today because I know that
you love
James Madison. So this is Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Greenwood Village, Tina Francone with Straightforward Shooting, and Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. I have Roger Bianco in studio with me. We're talking about your piece, Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde, Who Should Govern? We have on the line with us former State Senator Kevin Lundberg, who had a comment. Kevin, welcome.
Well, thank you, and I'll be very brief, but as I was listening to your excellent discussion, I think you are being far too generous with the opinions of the decision makers, some of them elected, some of them just bureaucrats hired for their positions. Some are terribly naive and have no idea what the real long-term consequences are, but be cautious because some have every knowledge of what they're doing, and they really are trying to remold society into some, you know, sociological utopia that they have in mind. So that's it. I'm going to jump off the line because you don't have much time here, but I just wanted to throw that in as somebody who's worked with these folks for many, many years.
Well, and, you know, Kevin, just very quickly, as I have looked at this and started to unpack this, it seems to me that sometimes these planners, who I think you're kind of alluding to, that think that it is benevolent for them to plan our lives the way they want us to live our lives, they're playing chess. And sometimes I feel like we're on the freedom side are playing tiddlywinks. I think that we need to start to get our chess hats on instead of the tiddlywink hat. Quick comment?
That's right. That's right. That's really why I called, is to say beware and be armed with the with the truth of the matter, which there are folks who really do see a very different world out there that they want to remake everything into, and it has very little to do with freedom and, as you say, a lot to do with force.
Okay, Kevin Lundberg, thank you so much for those comments. Roger, your thoughts?
Well, so right along those lines, and you just had an advertisement for Vino and Veritas, where Dr. Krannerwood will talk about the Federalist Papers, the year-long Federalist Papers study. Here's a quote from James Madison, Federalist 51, because the agent of all these things is the agent of all, you know, we're going to get all the cars out of downtown. It's always government. And Madison says in 51, but what is government itself but the greatest of all reflections on human nature? If men were angels, no government would be necessary. Men are not angels. If men were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. In other words, he's saying, If we were truly altruistic about our the way that we govern, and in America, I think that you can inject in there, you know, protective of rights, protective of the basic rights that really cover a lot of things, then we wouldn't have to have we wouldn't have to have a system where we would set up these checks against government has these checks against one another. As I studied the Federalist Papers a couple of years ago, what I came to realize was this isn't just checks and balances, legislative, executive, judicial. It's checks and balances between those three branches, which is off, and I'll tell you a story about that in a minute. But it's also checks and balances between the states, the municipals, and the national government. Everyone's supposed to do their job. They all reach for their own jobs. Now we're seeing this wrestling between different departments of the national government, bureaucracies in the national government, like the Department of Labor and Securities Exchange Commission, and all these things. And it's kind of funny to watch, but that truthfully is a fourth branch of government, how that executive branch has gotten out of control.
You know, Roger, just quickly, we're talking
genius
about...
genius system.
Yeah, checks and balances. And that brings us around to TABOR, the Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights. And that was a check for the people to say to PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, hey, three things. If you want to raise our taxes, if you want to incur debt that we have to pay off, or if you want to keep our TABOR tax refunds, and we'll provide that government can grow every year of inflation plus population. But any of the money above that, you have to ask us if you want to keep the change.
It's only fair.
And now they want to say, we never want to, CC says, we never ever want to ask you again if we can keep the change.
And it's for a better Colorado.
Uh-huh.
So, Here's kind of this idea of checks and balances. My son came home, I think he was probably in fourth grade maybe, and he knows that I'm interested in a lot of this stuff and kind of a history nerd, and he says, hey, Dad, we learned about the government today. I said, great, buddy, what'd you learn? And he told me about the legislative branch, executive branch, judicial branch, and talked about the system of checks and balances. And as he was writing, I wrote three equally sized circles in a triangle on a piece of paper and put E, L and J for legislative, executive, and judicial. And then I said this, and I showed it to him. He said, yeah, that's what we learned. And I flipped it over, and I go, okay, so show this to your teacher. And I wrote a big circle, a medium-sized circle, and a very small circle. And from the small circle, I drew an arrow to the large circle. The small circle is the legislative branch. The big circle is the executive branch. And then I put legislative, executive, and judicial inside the executive branch circle. And I said, that's what we have, right? And it's hard to envision. This is bad radio on my part. But the point being, through the years, Congress has forgotten what James Madison has said. Congress has forgotten human nature. And what they've done through the years, particularly in the 20th century, is they've created Department of X and bureaucracy of Y and all these things. And some of them, not all of them, are completely illegitimate, but we don't need the vast majority of them. And so as those things were created in those laws, they gave kind of deference to the bureaucracies to interpret laws and the like. So now and Madison also said in the Federalist, he said, I'm paraphrasing this, but almost the very definition of tyranny is if one of these branches of government contains all of the others. So you're going to have to look at tyranny in a little bit, not as strong of a light as we think about it. We think tyranny, we think a dictator and all those things, but we're moving towards Madison's standard of tyranny because the executive branch has all other three functions in it now.
And I would submit to you, Roger, the reason why is Congress has abdicated their responsibility to govern in order to get reelected. So they've pushed off these decisions over here that have gone in the executive branch to the administrative state.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, if we have to make these hard decisions and actually then go back to our constituents and make the case for why we made this particular decision, I might not get reelected.
Right.
And
that exists on both sides of the aisle.
It does.
To be fair, it really does.
It does, yeah. Absolutely. And so in doing so, yes, it has made the executive branch and then this whole administrative state that they're unelected, they're unaccountable, many times they're faceless, but they are making decisions about our lives.
And a lot of this is done, it's never like, sincerely discussed. I know earlier in the show, you and Britta talked about Coloradans for prosperity. Oh, that is just cheap. It's a cheap way to, grab someone else's brand and try to fool people with it. And that's exactly what they were doing. And they knew that's exactly what they were doing in support of this. So it in this the CC thing, but
and just a quick comment. If your arguments are so strong, or if your issue is so strong, you don't have to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
If we think, I do believe, and it does seem reasonable, that we are capable of great beauty and great malevolence. as people. And the concerning thing is that this is why I carry always, whether I love the person or I don't love the person or I don't know the person, I always carry with me a high level of skepticism when it comes to elected officials. The reason is because they are still the person they were before they were elected. Mm-hmm. And they are just as susceptible to that duality of human nature before and after they're elected. And in fact, after you're elected, my father, who raised me, one of the ideas he gave me that I've always remembered, he was the one that told me, he said this repeatedly, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Yep. Well, if you feel like you're above the law, and indeed you're in a position for making law for other people and trying to keep people, then the malevolence could creep in there. And boy, have we not seen that. I tell in the article a story about what I was raised on in the Chicago area. If you want to look at malevolence and how human nature can turn the wrong way in power, just look at the city of Chicago. It's been a terribly corrupt system for so many years. It's almost comical. In fact, it is probably comical.
You know, this that made me think of a quote when you mentioned that. Ralph Whitlock is a World War II veteran, lives mm-hmm. out here in Parker, and I'd gone to pick him up because I interviewed him again recently. And he had this quote, and I can't remember, but I think it was from a sitting congressman. And he said, power does not change the man, it unmasks the man.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. That's a really profound quote. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's difficult. It's difficult. I truthfully admire elected officials who can go into office and can still hold on to their dedication to the things that got them elected.
Kevin Lundberg's an excellent example.
You know, and years ago I read a study about how we always have this bias towards our locally represented officials, but I do think there are some folks locally represented that are great. And that do stick to the principles, because you can't forget, you know, if you're elected office, you can't forget, is this, am I being malevolent or am I being benevolent here? And understanding that you're not supposed to have that much power. Politicians, I think the ideal here, the only way that we can keep government, we can keep ourselves a free society, is if we keep government small and limited and within its space and adhere to the ideas that the founders gave us.
So be sure and check out your piece on my website, Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde, Who Should Govern? Roger, thank you so much for being in studio.
Thank you.
And our quote for today, James Madison, Federalist 41, he said, every man who loves peace, every man who loves his country, every man who loves liberty ought to have it ever before his eyes that he may cherish in his heart a due attachment to the Union of America and be able to set a due value upon preserving it. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice in the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.